Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
On the cover this month of Entrepreneur Magazine is my friend Richard Rawlings. He is the wild and crazy guy from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. He is the owner of Gas Monkey Garage and Gas Monkey Bar and Grill and Gas Monkey Racing and Gas Monkey this, that, and the other. It's amazing, the story. You can read it. It's in this month's issue of Entrepreneur. So how does a person make an iconic brand? Even a guy like Richard Rawlings, Gas Monkey? What is that? He's a car guy. Well, I'm a car guy. So he's on the way to making this iconic brand, and he makes his way to the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine. Well, how would you like to make an iconic brand? What does it take? Well, there's a brand new book out, just came out in February from Soon Yu. It's called Iconic Advantage. He's the author. He's on the line with us right now. How you doing, Soon?
Doing really well. Thank you for having me on, Al.
I love talking to you here just for a moment before we got started. And you said, you've started like five companies. Most of them failed. It's just so funny because it's that takes being able to kind of learn. Those are the building blocks of learning the, even the mortar in between the building blocks is the blood and guts and sinew that it takes to build those iconic brands. But then it takes things, called brilliance. And that is what we need to try and get to here, is the brilliance of what iconic brands have done before. Can it be duplicated so that your brand or your company can stand out? And for all the right reasons and not the wrong reasons, if you know what I mean, creating signature elements for your brand. And that's what your book talks about. Maybe you could talk, first of all, tell the world about your book and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it. That's exactly what we want to cover today. It's kind of, how did iconic brands become iconic? And especially coming from a guy who struggled to build just a business, let alone an iconic business. And right. I think that was a lot of the motivation in terms of getting nerdy and kind of researching over 50 companies that were basically doing a lot of things that I wasn't doing.
Right. Well, but you were the global vice president of innovation at this company, VF Corporation, parent organization of over 30 global apparel companies, including North Face, Vans, Timberland, Nautica, and even companies like Wrangler. This company owned those. That was your job. I love the fact that you were an entrepreneur at heart. And you ventured off and you put your own money and your time and energy and everything you learned into companies. And then you got that other side of the learning equation that I think most corporate people don't get, which is being an entrepreneur, failing, which is truthfully the secret sauce to success. Failing. Isn't that sound kind of weird? But it's true.
It absolutely is true. And, I think about the idea of, call it life education. I've got my money's worth on that part.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. And from a mindset point of view, whether you're working in a corporation or working in a small startup or a pizza parlor, wherever, I always like to think of this idea that, it's not just that you and I prototype businesses or products or business models, but that we prototype ourselves. And so I really feel like all that, hard knocks and learning, as long as you have the right attitude, you can actually take that as feedback to then go to the next iteration of yourself and keep improving. And that's kind of both the mindset I've taken towards a lot of the things that I've done wrong, but also a lot of the motivation in terms of jumping into, things unabashed, like writing a book.
Right, which ain't easy. You have had some successes. I know you had one, Gesundheit, which you ended up selling to the Clorox company, which you used to work for. They used that, I think, as a way to get you to come back, which that speaks well of you, my friend. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We'll come back and talk to Soon Yu. He is the author of Iconic Advantage. What is it going to take for your brand to have staying power? Maybe we can find out from Soon. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Pick up this month's issue of Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. You'll see the wild and crazy Richard Rawlings from Discovery Channel's Fast and Loud, Gas Monkey Garage, all the rest. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. Stay tuned.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
How do you keep from giving your brand a bad name? You need that iconic advantage. And Soon Yu is with us. He is the author of his new book, Iconic Advantage. It shot right to the top of the Amazon bestseller list. Came out in February. So Soon, so many people, you know, they work so hard and then their brand doesn't have a good name. It hasn't done certain things. So how do we create signature elements for a brand to get an iconic advantage in today's marketplace? Maybe you can help us.
Yeah, such a great question, you know. So I looked at those 50 companies and I found out that these iconic brands and franchises and services all shared sort of three things in common. And one of them was the idea that they were all distinctive. There was something special about them that was memorable, unique, that people actually recognized them for. And whatever that distinction was, the second element was that it was highly relevant to the people that really embraced the brand. And it was, to your point, stuck around. It was timelessly relevant and created longevity, which is really key to become a standard bearer that will then lead you to become iconic. And the last quality is the idea that they are widely recognized for that distinctive relevance. And so when we're thinking about this idea of creating distinction, the best way to do it is to have signatures, things that you're known for, things that people, when they see it right off the bat, they go, oh yeah, that's that brand. Oh yeah, that's Alan with his red jacket and his, you know, loud cars and, you know, you know.
And he's describing my LinkedIn page and my I'm wearing a red race suit. All right, continue.
Yeah, loud and proud, man. That's right. I see that all over it. It's a great signature. But you know, let's just take somebody you've been talking about at the beginning.
Richard Rawlings.
Richard Rawlings. I mean, talk about like a guy who understands iconic branding. Wow. I mean, just pull up his name on Google and then pull up Gas Monkey. First off, I mean, he has an iconic look. You've got that devilish goatee with the salt pepper look and, you know, his black t-shirts with his jeans. I mean, that guy looks like he came right out of the movies and then always near like some type of green mobile. You know, it's a fantastic look. And when you look at the iconicity of the Garage Monkey brand, you've got obviously the monkey, but with that wild, wild colored tongue. You know, it's red sometimes, it's green sometimes, and it just embodies what's really relevant about the brand.
So let me stop you there because it's kind of interesting. This is not an accident. What you're saying is that even though it looks very organic, authentic, and it looks just like he rolled out of bed like that, it ain't an accident. He is putting on this look, this flavor, this iconic persona that he has invented every day.
Absolutely.
It's not an accident.
So either he's just the most intuitive guy I've ever met.
No, he's a smart marketer. Yeah,
this guy's a smart as hell marketer because everything he has a certain attitude about it with a certain look. And it all is coherent and consistent. And what I love about what he's doing is, one, he has a very consistent, what I call iconic brand language, which is really this idea of understanding what makes you signature and protecting that. And then the key to keeping your brand sort of, you're talking about this, to stick around and stay fresh, is knowing how to marry what you need to protect with what's new. So he extends it into new businesses, into drinks, into the garage, into restaurants. And then on top of that, he adds a certain degree of freshness by bringing in guests, by bringing in other collaborators, by bringing in other genres married with his. And it's just an amazing way to create what I call staying power.
Yeah, and gosh, you know, most people there think, well, I have a flower shop. How am I supposed to do that with a flower shop? Well, where there's a will, there's a way. And sometimes necessity is the mother of invention, because guess what? If you don't do something, your competitor is already thinking about it and will.
That's right. I mean, you mentioned the flower shop. Well, you know, this challenge of trying to build iconicity applies to obviously big corporations, applies to entrepreneurs like Richard, but also implies to, you know, mom and pop shops like I know of this one amazing pizza parlor, and they really wanted to be distinctive in San Francisco, which is where I live. And so they came up with one tweak in their recipe that they carry throughout all their pizza pies, and that is they have sourdough crust, and it's amazing. And for that reason, they are iconic in San Francisco, which is truly, that's all they really wanted to be iconic in. But I mean, that's it. Their universe was San Francisco, and they did something that made them distinctively relevant.
You know what? All I can tell you is that when we come back, you're going to have to put your professor's cap on, because this is where you become the teacher. Okay, Soon?
Okay.
Your book is the textbook. It's Iconic Advantage. It's you can find it on Amazon. It's an Amazon bestseller. And I cannot wait, because I want to make myself a little more iconic than I already is, if you know what I mean. All right, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Next comes the lesson. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And from San Francisco, we have author Soon Yu, author of the book Iconic Advantage. It is now time for him to take the mystery of how to create a iconic brand and turn those into actionable items. Again, he worked at this company, VF Corporation, parent organization to over 30 global apparel companies, including North Face, Vans, Timberland, Nautica, and Wrangler. He's also started a number of his own companies, and some of them just, you know, bit the dust, like many of us. But he's had companies that have done well, too. So along that path, in his 40s now, written this book, Iconic Advantage, and it is time, again, to turn, you know, you're the professor, brother. Take it away.
Well, let's say you want to create an iconic brand, and let's say you want to do it from the get-go and you don't have one today. Well, it is absolutely possible. I work with a lot of startups here in the Silicon Valley area, and they talk to me about, well, I'm not a big corporation. Why do I need to think about that now? And I always say, look, you know, you're probably in a 2 or 3 horse race. And even if you're mom and pop, you're probably trying to compete with, what, 4 or 5 other flower shops in the same zip code as you. So building this idea of iconic distinction from the get-go is actually critical. And I have a simple saying, that is that, you know, it isn't always the biggest or baddest or largest mousetrap that wins. It's actually the one with the stinkiest cheese. So your goal is to create stinky cheese.
All right, I got to tell you a funny story. We'll come back to that. I was working with Tim Allen, and I've been friends with Tim Allen for 30 years, and he's a car guy, as so am I, right? And I worked with Car and Driver along the way, and I had Tim Allen test a car one time. And I go, what do you think of it? And it was a funny little car, a Honda Element, if you remember those, which are great little cars. He says, you know, it's a great little car. He says, but it's kind of butt ugly. He goes, I want to put my stink on it. And Honda was a little mad, but I said, that's a good thing. And Tim says, you know, not a bad stink, a good stink. And so that's what you're saying. It's like, you know, put your own stink on it, which it's so funny because that came directly from Tim Allen about a decade ago.
Well, you know, if Tim Allen is saying that, then I'm on to something.
Okay? You are totally onto something. Okay, go for it. Keep going.
Right. We want to create blue cheese grade stink. That's what we're talking about.
I love
here.
It.
So, you know, I talked about earlier this idea of distinction and relevance and then being recognized for that distinctive relevance. Well, those are the three qualities. How do you supercharge them to create sort of stinky cheese? And the first one is you got to create some noticing power to create some distinction. And you can do that, obviously, like Richard did with a great logo and a name. But also, you know, you can do it through features on your product, such as Nike did with their little Air Max and that little air pocket, right? Or you can do it through style or color, like Burberry does with their checkered pattern, or Christian Louboutin does with their red bottom high heels, you know, or even silhouette. If I said to you, you know, a yellow beer bottle with the lime in the neck, what brand would come to mind? Mm-hmm. Corona, right? And so, you know, silhouette or even a signature experience that you're known for. You know, Apple's known for their packaging. When you open one of their computers or their iPhones, you know, you can't help but feel like you're unveiling some type of treasure chest.
Right.
So there's all these different ways, you know, a signature scent or signature sound, all that. So I want your folks to really be thinking about what is it that you could be known for that could embody some of your key points of difference, and so that people would see that, recognize you for that. And then the next thing is, how do you marry that signature up in a way that makes it relevant and interesting and fresh? And so are you adding new stories to your signatures? You know, so that's a key way. Are you continuing to innovate your signature, like Nike? Boy, that air pocket, it went from the back to the front to the entire shoe and to now some super duper space age bubble technology that they continue to use.
I have a pair. I get it.
You have a pair, exactly. Yeah. And then lastly, make sure you keep the design current with the sort of zeitgeist and fashion trends of today. And so one, are you infusing what you're seeing in the outside world? And two, are you finding outside collaborators? I mean, look at Vans. They take that simple canvas shoe that they have and they bring in the Simpsons and the Beatles and Hello Kitty and basically everybody to come in and kind of share their collective equities together to keep their signature elements fresh. And so that's what you do. You take the signature elements, you make sure that people see them, and then you infuse it with some great innovation, some great story, and some great design.
You know, you said one that hit me. I'm friends with Barry Maguire, who owns Maguire's Car Wax, and it's like their slogan is the trusted, because people love their cars like you and I do. We're car guys.
Yeah.
And I started working with him like 25 years ago, and he hired a perfume person from like Fabergé or one of those perfume companies. I don't know, perfume companies.
Yeah.
And he made it to where his detail stuff smelled good. And I'm telling you, it smells so good. You want to eat it or drink it. You want to wear it, you know? And I'm telling you what a difference, because if you use these other brands, and I won't name any turtle wax, it smelled like something you wouldn't, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
I used to hate waxing my car because it stunk. But when I met Meguiar's and I started using their products, I was like, that smells good. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so that little standout,
because that's great.
It may have been just as good turtle wax as Meguiar's, but one smelled better. The packaging of Apple is better. Whatever that little thing is, you got to be better at it to create that iconic advantage. You can find Soon You real easy. SoonYou.com. That's SoonYu. Or check out his book on Amazon, Iconic Advantage. Soon, great job, man. Great job.
Thanks. Fun time, man.
Appreciate that. All right. Our professor has done a great job today. You can pick up his book. It is time for me to take a commercial break and come back with our next guest. Stay tuned, everybody. It is Entrepreneur Weekly, Automotive Weekly. Almost screwed that up. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Entrepreneur Magazine on the cover. The May issue is a Captain Jack Sparrow. No, it's Richard Rollins. Fast and Loud, it says, on the art of building your brand. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How are things?
Things are good. We just got done talking with a gentleman who was using you as his example of how, you know, kind of how you have to be to have an iconic brand. And this month's issue has got you on the cover of the magazine. What does that feel like, first of all, to be on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine?
You know, it's a very humbling experience. I'm very blessed to be in the position I'm at to be selected to be on the cover. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, and you know what it takes to be on the cover. You got to do something miraculous. And maybe we start for those that don't know you, who the hell is Richard Rawlings?
Man, I'm just a poor kid from Fort Worth that got into this car business and making a go of it.
that's the easy version. So I've known you now 12 years, And you really haven't changed that much. We were involved in this fun car rally years ago where you and Dennis Collins, for the rest of the world, tell this little story, jumped in this crazy Ferrari and decided, you know, somebody, a guy named Ricky, what's his name?
Jared Ricky.
Yeah, he bet you guys, I think it was 50 grand. Was that what the number?
Yes, sir, it was.
$50,000 he bet them that they couldn't drive New York to L.A. like the Cannonball Run and beat the time. And they said, we'll take your bet. And they literally got in their car. And where were we? We were in, like, Canada or something.
We were in Canada. Yeah. We just drove down to 34th Street, Manhattan, and got ready and then took off.
And they drove New York to L.A., and I don't want to get the time wrong, 31 hours, 59 minutes or something?
That is absolutely correct.
Which
was the first time. That was 2007. That was the first time the record had been broken since 1979.
Right? And many have tried and many have failed, but you guys did it. And I know you have a tattoo of that time on your body there and on your arm. Of course, let's tell where it is. But, you know, you're just a daredevil kind of guy. And when I met you and Dennis, the pair of you guys were just car guys having fun, doing all your stuff that you do. But you're doing the exact same thing. It's just that now it's on Discovery Channel with Fast and Loud, the TV show. How many seasons do you have under your belt now?
You know, I'm not sure how many they count seasons because they change it up for marketing, but yeah. I know we're on about our 140th, 145th episode.
Man.
And, you know, still kicking along, just got to order for 20 more. But, you know, when we met 12 years ago, Gas Monkey Garage and getting on TV and building a world-renowned brand was my dream, my ambition. And, you know, I told anybody who would listen that it was going to happen. And here we are, you know, we're in 100 countries and translated into 17 languages. And we've got product, Gas Monkey products of varying degrees on every continent on the planet.
Man, it's unbelievable. And it has been really fun to watch because, you know, I used to say about you and Dennis that you guys were gentlemen and everybody would laugh and go, those guys. But you know what? I'll tell you what. Since I know you personally, and I know Dennis personally, I think you call him your best friend, and I know that you guys are tremendous friends. I think the best part about you, from my point and my perspective, is that you don't forget where you came from, and you also care about your fans. You always take time to stop and take a picture, and any celebrity will tell you that grinds on you because you can't walk 10 feet without having I want a picture, and you got to try and somehow find a little bit of smile in you somewhere when even you could be having a fight with your girlfriend or wife or friend or business. You know, it's not easy to do, and you and Dennis both have managed to do that, and you still do it today. And I know that you told me you cracked a few ribs and you're probably, you know, having to do your show and nobody knows the difference because, you know, the show must go on. Right, Richard?
Yeah, we're out here in Atlanta filming Garage Rehab right now. And I broke some ribs in Mexico City over the weekend. And it's a little uncomfortable. But, you know, I'm a little bit shy about shaking hands right now. But I explain it to them and they're okay with it.
All right, let's talk about the art of building your brand. Where did you go to school to learn this?
You know, I went to the University of Hard Knocks. I barely got out of high school, and I think I only got out because they didn't want me to come back. But I, you know, went straight into being a police officer, firefighter, and paramedic before I was even old enough to drink because my dad taught me, get a good job, son. I never want you to have to work as hard as I do. My dad had three jobs my whole life, three jobs at a time.
Wow.
He, you know, he worked three different jobs every day, and he instilled in me that I needed to, you know, find a good job. So, you know, here I was being a fireman and a police officer, and around 25, I decided that was cool, but it wasn't for me, and what have you. So I embarked on trying to figure out who I was and what I was about, and where I actually ended up stumbling into was printing and advertising, and I found a niche in that I was good with the consumers and understanding what they wanted. So I was doing it for, you know, other companies and other brands. and helping them build their brand up and get out there to the public sector and sell their wares and make money and have, you know, repeat business. And it just became something that I just happened to be naturally good at. And, you know, I thought about it for quite a long time, and I decided that, you know, I wanted to build my own brand. And that's kind of where Gas Monkey was born. And I wanted to do it around something that I enjoyed, which is cars, motorcycles, and what have you. And, you know, now what do I tell? I told a lady on the news the other day, I said, I might be the smartest guy in the world because I figured out how to play with cars and drink beer and get paid for it.
Right. I always told people I was Ferris Bueller from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but I really think you are Ferris Bueller. All right, let me take a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk more with Richard Rawlings. Gas Monkey Garage, Gas Monkey Bar and Grill, Gas Monkey everything. And Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel, he says they just ordered 20 more episodes. That tells you he's going to be around for a while. He is on the cover of our magazine, Entrepreneur, and he is an entrepreneur. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our guest right now is Richard Rawlings from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. He is the real living Captain Jack Sparrow. I mean, he looks the part, he acts the part. The only difference is he is not a dastardly dude that would leave his lady in a lurch. It says right on the there's a double page on page 42 and 43 of Entrepreneur, the May issue. It says, not made for TV. Richard Rawlings never wanted to be a TV star. He wanted to be a brand builder, and TV was the way to get there fast. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I think being a TV star ain't half bad either, is it?
You know, it's like any job. It's still a job. You get up and you go do it, and it can be a little taxing, especially right now. I've got four shows on Discovery running simultaneously, and a little known fact, this year so far, minus 2 weeks, there has been something Richard/Gas Monkey on TV 1 hour a week, brand new, and we're moving into May. So they said it couldn't be done. I'm aiming for the whole year, but just have to see how programming ends up getting it done. But between Garage Rehab and Fast and Loud and Misfit Garage and Demolition Theater, there's a lot of Gas Monkey out there.
Now, I'm on page 46 of Entrepreneur Magazine, the May issue, Richard Rawlings, everybody. And you're sitting on what looks like kind of like a lowrider Stingray bicycle in between a couple of hot Mustangs. You seem to appeal to young and old. And I mean, do you do that? Is it, and I said to the guy that was talking about you in the earlier segments, I said, this is not by accident. This is utter brilliance, this guy. Do you know that kids want to see you, you know, sitting on that Stingray? I mean, tell me about that shot. You know the shot I'm talking about.
You know, that bike's sitting around the shop for a while now. And, you know, I just thought that that would be a good gig. I do aim for the family audience. When I decided I wanted to build Gas Monkey and that I was going to go for getting a TV show on Discovery, I went and visited a lot of places that were currently popular at that time. You know, we're going back 14 years ago. And I was treated badly as a customer and, you know, close set and you're not welcome and go away and, you know, things like that. And it impressed on me. It's like, God, they're forgetting the whole sector. And as I laid there formulating the plan at home, I would watch these shows, and they were very macho and bravado and cooler than thou. And what I found was, and then I look around. My wife's not in the room. My kids weren't in the room. I'm watching these shows because I'm a gearhead, and I'm into it, but they're not. And,
right.
And that was kind of the light bulb moment where I was like, golly, they're missing such a large segment of the market. Trying to be, you know, cooler than cool. And so, you know, I'm still tattooed and got a goatee. I just, I'm approachable and I got a poodle, you know, so, I mean, we leave our gates open. People come by, you know, we've got a lot of stuff for people to see. we encourage involvement. You know, I stop and talk and do, and you know, I don't walk in and hide in the corner of the restaurant, you know, and don't want to be bothered. I mean, sure, it's a lot of work keeping up with that, but the public, sometimes when you get in a position like me, you forget that the public is seeing you for the first time. You know, you're used to the public freaking out, and you got to realize that person that's like there, and can I get your autograph? You know, can I shake your hand? Can I take a picture? They're genuinely excited, and those are the people that are, you know, more or less putting the steak on the plate, and you got to take care of them. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many planes I've missed or, you know, meetings I've been late to or what have you, because I want the fans to be engaged and be involved. And, you know, that's from grandmas to infants to, you know, the whole family. And it's really a proud moment for me when a lot of people come up every once in a while and go, you know what? I watch this show with my kids. It's the only show I watch on the planet with my kids. They'll come in the room and they'll be like, hey, it's time passing loud. And that's a really cool thing.
Yeah. Well, it's true, and I do. I watch it with my kids and have. I used to tell you, you know, hey, man, I watch this with my boys. Just so you know, it's kind of funny. My kids went from being 10, 11, 12 to now going on, you know, 20, 22, and 3. It's like they've actually grown up, which is bizarre to think that they've grown up watching you, you know?
Wow, is that great?
It's so funny. And here's the thing. They know you since we've, you know, been together on a few events and stuff. And but they still love watching the stuff that you guys do. So, you know, and you've continued to reinvent yourself along the way. And then, of course, we find out little things about you, kind of the charitable side. And give me a minute or two on the charitable side of Richard Rawlings.
You know, I've had Gas Monkey Foundation for about 2 or 3 years now. And, we're really blessed with some good donors, and we're able to, you know, help Alzheimer's and dementia is really our specialty because my father has it. He's now at home where, you know, he's probably going to die there, and he's very, very gone. And I try to tell people that, you know, people get so upset when they're dealing with family members with this disease, and they're like, oh, you know, dad, mom, don't you remember, you know, and they try to bring them back or get them to remember. They're not going to, and it causes such stress on the family member taking care of the dementia.
I'm dealing with it too.
And
it's not easy. You're right.
You gotta
take patience.
You take that stress away. Yeah. What you do is, I call it having fun with the old kids. Forget about what they're not remembering.
Right.
Take them to a ball game. Show them something new. Take them for a walk. You know, get out there and what have you. I bring my dad over to see my cars, you know, every week or so. They're the same cars that are always sitting there, but
it's
him,
brand
new
every time.
You know, and you know,
all right, hold tight. Let's do this on the other side. One more segment. This is the side of Richard Rawlings you guys all need to see. It's the real man, and he's pretty much the same on TV. We'll be right back. Saw her face.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Life in the fast and loud lane. We've got Richard Rawlings on the phone. He is on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine. Fast and Loud's Richard Rawlings on the art of building your brand. Didn't mean to cut you off there. You were talking about your charity. So people, if they want to donate to the charity, the Gas Monkey Garage, kind of the world that you are in, but do some good with it, tell the world how they can do that. Is it possible?
It's under It's under GasMonkeyFoundation.org, and we've got a really unique setup all throughout the United States. You can donate a car, truck, or boat anywhere in the United States, and it'll get picked up and taken care of, sold, and for the best dollar that we can get for it. And that's anywhere in the United States. It's different than the ones that are city-based.
Yeah.
This is anywhere. We'll get it picked up. We'll get it sold. And because of the model that I built, we have no physical overhead. So better than 90% of every bit of that vehicle being sold is going to go straight to the charity itself. We have zero overhead, no building, no anything.
That's awesome.
Whatsoever.
Good.
So we're real proud of that model, and you know, so get on there and donate your car, truck, or boat, and we'll get after it.
There you go. It's cars for monkeys. Gas Monkey, that is. GasMonkeyFoundation.org. All right. You also have like energy drinks and restaurants, and what's going on there?
Oh, gosh. We got restaurants, tequilas, energy drinks, you name it. The tequila's going great. We actually just finished a deal with Athies for our armed services, and I was fortunate enough to go over to South Korea for Thanksgiving and have Thanksgiving dinner with the troops. But one thing that's real cool with the Athies group is every single military base in the world carries the complete complement of Gas Monkey products.
That's awesome, man.
From the tequila to the energy drink to the shirts and hats, whatever. And, these guys and gals are out there protecting us. And it was really cool that they can have a little piece at home, right, no matter where they're at in the world.
Dude, that is awesome.
But the energy drink is really, really cool. We just signed a deal with 7-Eleven worldwide.
Wow.
And we're real excited about that. We've just launched in Texas. It's going to take us probably 8 to 10 months to supply the world, because 7-Eleven has, I believe, 22,000 stores, if you will.
Right.
Maybe 26. But in Texas right now, actually anywhere in the nation, you can go to GasMonkeySweeps.com and enter to win my personal motorcycle.
Whoa.
And, so it's all about Gas Monkey Energy, but, it's on the shelves, and it's a good drink. It's a good energy drink, and it's, we took out some of the bad stuff and put in some good stuff and kept a good product line going, so we're really excited about that.
Well, congratulations. All right, it's time for you to put on the professor's cap and teach the entrepreneurs. You're on the cover, The Art of Building Your Brand. I'm giving you 2 minutes to tell the world, what is the art of building your brand, brother?
Well, to me, it's kind of like getting your school supplies. When you were doing that as a young kid, you wanted that big 64-pack or that 110-pack of crayons. And that's really what building your brand is about, is the diversity of using everything at your disposal and being unique. And that doesn't mean go out and get this unbelievable crazy marketing plan and spend all this money on, studies and what have you. I'm all about just do it. If you want to decide you're going to mow yards, start mowing yards. Or if you're going to work on cars or whatever, just start doing it and do it better than anyone else. And as long as you're clean and professional at what you do, word will spread.
Yeah.
I'm not a big advisor of, giant marketing plans. I mean, I've seen companies raise money and, spend $4 or $5 million getting started and be bankrupt in 6 months.
Right.
And so to me, I think you just get in there, get your feet wet, and get going. But as long as you're authentic to yourself and to your brand, then you're more than likely to succeed. My best advice that I give most people is just decide what you're going to do and go do it.
Yeah.
This is America. You can literally do anything. I mean, if that freaking guy can be our president, then we can do anything in the world, so I'm 100% on board for just decide what you want to do and make it happen.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, listen, first of all, thanks for all the fun that we've had for the last decade plus. You've been a fun guy to hang with. You're on the cover of freaking Entrepreneur magazine, man.
That's pretty freaking humbling, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, man, it's awesome. Keep up the great work. I know you have more to tell that you can't quite tell, so we're going to have you back again, and you can keep unveiling some of these cool things you got going on television and with sponsors and all the stuff that you're doing. Give it up for Richard Rollins, everybody. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. All right. That's it for this hour of Entrepreneur. Pick up this month's issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. You'll see Richard's face putting his sunglasses on, staring right at you. The Art of Building Your Brand. We'll see you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.